The views expressed on the following program are the views of the show's host and do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station, their management, their donors, their underwriters, nor their seventh-born sons. Broadcasting from our secret underground studio in Olympia, Washington, it is time for the Thunderbolts. Yes, kids, there you were, enjoying your privileged white status, blissfully ignorant of the fact that your shoes were manufactured by a child slave, until one day you turned on your radio and you were struck by the Thunderbolt! Hello, Cascadia! It's time to wake up! Yes, you better grab that cup of coffee, because you are about to be struck by the thunderbolt of truth and justice. Here it comes. Yes, kids, the thunderbolt is your guide to activism in Thurston County. I have news. I have commentary, I have a calendar for activist-related events, kick-ass music, and dumb jokes! So Cascadia is off of the couch and into the streets! It's time to save civilization from fiery apocalypse! Though even the apocalypse is gonna have to wait until I have had a cup of coffee! Yes, welcome to the Thunderbolt for December 27th, 2024. This will not only be the last Thunderbolt of the year, but I'm afraid it will be the last Thunderbolt ever, as I am discontinuing the show. There's a lot of reasons for this, some political, some personal, but those reasons are intertwined in many. And if I were to start talking about any of them, I would need to start talking about all of them, and I don't want to waste precious airtime going over all of that. Anyway, I have put together a spectacular array of all my favorite pieces I've recorded over the 10 years I've been producing this show. And I'm going to start off with a piece I recorded right after I figured out what was wrong with the world. Enjoy. The Thunderbolt will return in just a moment. But first, a few words from your discount Looking Glass outlet. E. Caveat. Emptor. Sucker. Yes, kids, I have spectacular news for you this week, because after decades of painstaking and exhaustive research, I have finally figured out what is wrong with the world! And never fear, my loyal listeners, yes, both of you, for I am about to reveal the secret in an explosive Thunderbolt exclusive! Kids, we have fallen through a discount looking glass. Consider, what if you reported a crime and they threw you into jail for reporting it, while the actual criminal received a promotion? Well, that is exactly what Barack Obama has been doing to more whistleblowers than all other presidents in the country's history combined. Really? What the hell kind of looking glass is that? What if you were robbed of nearly everything you own, but when you called the police explained that the robber had subsequently lost all your money gambling in a casino, and now that in addition to your losses from the theft, must also pay for his gambling debts. Well, that is exactly what Wall Street just did to all of us, and that was exactly the government's response. Wow, that looking glass must have some kind of nasty crap on the lens, eh? And
And what can you say when motherhood, the job that not only carries more responsibility than any other, but is also one of the hardest and the most demanding, receives not one duly of any squat concerning financial remuneration for their efforts, whilst arrogant, sociopathic, human mutant hybrids who do nothing but suck our world dry receive compensation that is so over the top, overblown, that is quite literally insane. Jeez, this looking glass must have been manufactured by a child slave in a third world sweatshop or something. I think we should demand a refund.
Haha. Yes. So I started reluctantly programming at a now defunct radio station in Olympia called KOWA that used to be on the air at 106.5. And I did that because the general manager asked me to do it because he was getting swamped. And I also started reluctantly producing this radio show when the general manager asked me to do that as well. And while I was hesitant to do both things at first, I later thanked that gentleman when I saw him at a conference in Portland a few years later, because programming a radio station and producing this radio show has been two of the coolest things I have ever done in a long life of doing lots and lots of cool things. Anyway, KOWA's license was held by another now-defunct organization called Media Island, which technically still exists under that name but has absolutely nothing to do with the Media Island that existed back then, other than the fact they basically stole the house that was and still is owned by Media Island. But that is another very, very long story that I'm not going to waste precious airtime going over. The point I want to make here is that this next Thunderbolt was basically an activist recruiting piece, encouraging people to come to Media Island and get involved. Enjoy! Hey kids, this is the head of the Rabble Rouser Recruiting Division at Media Island International, where we believe that saving the world may be a fun job, but somebody's got to do it. And I am happy to announce that there are thousands of positions available for saving your planet, both locally and around the world. Everybody is good at something. And the revolution needs everything. Yes, we have positions open for organizers, clowns, farmers, conflict resolution experts, stonemasons, mad geniuses, buskers, doctors, acrobats, media people, mothers, zombies, politicians, computer techs, fundraisers, musicians, students, teachers, lawyers, witches, paper shufflers, general experts on whatever, and people to yell at other people entertainingly through a bullhorn. This is an equal opportunity revolution. No experience is required. On-the-job training will be provided. As for your wages, our benefits package includes a deep sense of satisfaction that can only be gained by doing the right thing. Unless you are an incredibly vile human being, you will make little, if any, money. It will, in fact, often cost you dearly. A desire for riches is not why you do things like this. As for who to contact, there are many choices depending upon your goals, your skills, and your issues. You can stay between the lines, or you can travel through the far reaches of space. You're already listening to KOWA. That's a good start. We'll keep you posted on everything that's happening in Olympia. Or you can stop by Media Island, which is at 816 Adams Street, right across the street from the downtown library. We have meeting space. We have public computers. We have a library full of books with information you will not see on your TV. We have videos. We have zines. And we have this radio station. This is KOWA 106.5 Low Power FM. Streaming at KOWALP.org. Let's say we listen to Bela play some banjo now. Yes, kids, it has reached the point wherein if you are not part of the solution, then you are part of the problem. If everybody throws a few shovels full of sand into the cogs, the machine cannot function. So do something. Do anything. Do that thing you do so well. You can sing. You can charm them with a smile. Work quietly behind the scenes. Use yes men tactics. Dance. Baffle them with BS. Enchant them. Wear a clown nose. Run for office. Throw a pie in their face. Guide people toward the light. Yell at people through a bullhorn. Yes, there are lots of people doing lots of good things, often with less than nothing, and they always need more help. There are numerous student organizations that are kicking much ass. There are numerous faith organizations doing a lot of very good work. Yes, the machine is stealing everything, and there is no more burying your head in the sand unless you want your family living in a cardboard box in an alley sometime soon. The important thing is to do something. Yeah, just do something. And so now, in honor of Black Friday, and in the spirit in which Black Friday to us comes, I now present a report on an interview with a vampire. This is excerpted from an interview with filmmaker and former politician Aaron Russo, wherein Mr. Russo described a conversation that he once had with his one-time friend, Nicholas Rockefeller. Rockefeller: by having this war on terror, you can never win it. So you can just keep on taking people's liberties away indefinitely. Russo: what are you doing this for? What is the point of all this? You have all the money in the world you could ever want and all the power. You are hurting people and it is not a good thing. Rockefeller: what do you care about the people for? Take care of yourself and take care of your family.
Russo, what are the ultimate goals here? Rockefeller, the ultimate goal is to get everyone chipped with an RFID chip and have all the money and all of everything else be on those chips. And if anyone wants to protest what we do or violate what we want, we just turn off their chip. So do you see what I mean? This is what I'm talking about, kids. If Mr. Rockefeller needs to be provided with an explanation for why people should care about people, and I suspect he's incapable of even understanding the explanation, much less ever actually taking the sentiment to heart. And this attitude is what is killing us, kids. They steal everything, they kill everyone so that they can erect some impenetrable wall betwixt themselves and the world, even though the world always wins in the end, and even though the storms they unleash often get out of hand and sweep everything away, taking them right along with it. And this is very bad because this attitude is contagious. This attitude is synergistic. This attitude perpetuates itself. Ill will begets ill will. Violence begets violence. And hatred begets hatred. Everything feeds on itself, and then it often builds up to great crescendos of literal mass insanity. And the costs are paid for generations, too. Due to the brutalization of an entire generation, all of those Central American countries that were ruled by brutal, murderous American-backed military dictatorships during Ronald Reagan's heyday in the 80s, many of those countries now have civilian murder rates that are killing just as many innocents as many of their numerous American-inspired and financed civil wars did. And this violence will also spread, and this violence will also perpetuate, and this violence will also synergistically grow. Now, a natural response to Mr. Rockefeller's attitude would be to ask this: why should we care about Mr. Rockefeller? Maybe we should follow Mr. Rockefeller's advice, and maybe we should take care of ourselves and take care of our families by mounting a revolution against Mr. Rockefeller's ilk. But the whole point of our whole struggle is that we are better than they are. We do not dehumanize people, even those who dehumanize others. If they are such terrible people, why on earth would we ever want to use them as role models for our own behavior? That said, though, do you really think it would be in yours or your family's interest to invest someone like Nicholas Rockefeller with the power to turn off your chip if you bitch about one of his wars or if you complain about him stealing your pension fund? So if you do not think this is a very good idea, you need to get out into the streets, kids. Because that is the only thing that ever brings any change you can believe in. Yeah, you need to get out in the streets, because otherwise, Mr. Rockefeller and RFID will be coming soon to a neighborhood near you.
In April of 2011, we occupied the State Capitol building here in Olympia. After 3 days, we were forcefully evicted, and about a dozen people were arrested. We made a lot of noise, we got a lot of press, and a lot of attention.
Edit.
And we scored a couple of legislative victories that we likely would not have been able to pull off without our occupation. But after the dust settled, almost everyone dispersed, and we didn't really accomplish much overall. Then, a few months later, the Occupy movement sprang into being, and we here in Olympia occupied Heritage Park. We were forcefully evicted several months later. We made a lot of noise. We got a lot of press and a lot of attention.
Edit.
And we scored a couple of legislative victories that we likely would not have been able to pull off without our occupation. After the dust had settled, though, everyone dispersed, and we didn't really accomplish much overall. Then, in 2012, the Idle No More movement sprung up. Now, I did not participate in the Idle No More movement directly, but they made a lot of noise, they got a lot of press, and a lot of attention. And they scored a couple of legislative victories that they likely would not have been able to pull off without their movement. It would now seem, though, that they have largely dispersed, and they did not really accomplish much overall. And now, we have the Black Lives Matter movement.
Edit.
And the Standing Rock movement. They are both still active, and their ultimate fates are yet to be determined. But it would not be out of line to expect a similar such trajectory. However, here is the thing.
Edit.
A lot of people made a lot of connections at the Capitol occupation, and it was there, in fact, where I originally began compiling the mailing list that eventually became the mailing list.
Edit.
For the Thunderbolt. Yes, almost everyone moved on to other things, but a lot of people stayed in touch and continued working together on some of those other things.
Edit.
In other words, a network was created. It was the same with the Occupy movement. There are now a whole bunch of people.
Edit.
Who are now activists, who would not have been activists without the Occupy movement, and there are a whole bunch of occupiers now on the Thunderbolt mailing list that would not have been there if not for Occupy. Yes, most people moved on, but yet more networks were created. And I am confident the same thing happened with the Idle No More, and that this process is now happening with Black Lives Matter and with Standing Rock. We are all building networks. There are thousands of people in Olympia alone who are ready for action and just need a credible direction to go. And I am thinking that this very likely is the case all over the country. What I am hoping is that everyone is maybe going to finally figure out that all of our battles are ultimately the same battle, and that all of these networks we have been building over the years will all then coalesce into a great final movement where we can finally get 3% of us out onto the streets all at the same time. And then we can finally force them once and for all to either voluntarily dismount their high horses or to get knocked off of them and onto their asses.
Edit.
All the way up the tube. Drop your gun, Phil.
Don't do it. He killed Sal, but we got four guns. He's only got one bullet left in that Derringer.
One's better than none.
We got him.
Let's see if that's true. Count to three.
All the way up to six if I had to.
Don't shoot me.
Maybe faster than you.
One. When I say three, draw. One.
If you say two, I'll kill you.
Keep count.
Two.
Gee. I'll kill the next man who speaks.
Gosh, what excitement.
Strike!
Hey, wait a minute. Good shooting.
No, don't shoot again, you cop.
That wasn't Bill, that was me, Jingles, and don't break for that door again.
Stop him here.
So normally we'd take a station break right now, but since this show isn't going to actually broadcast over the air, we don't need to take a station break. So, how about a word from one of our sponsors?
As youth find their educational and economic opportunities disappearing before their very eyes, perhaps it is time to think outside the box and consider alternative educational prospects that take into account the likely financial situation young people will soon find themselves facing. There is a unique opportunity that exists that will not only provide invaluable expertise for dealing with this bewildering new world in which you find yourselves thrust, but the experience itself is guaranteed to change your entire view of life. Yes, kids, I'm talking about Club Fed. Tell me, have you ever considered how you could stretch the family budget during those lean times at the end of the month if only you knew how to pick locks and neutralize alarm systems? Perhaps you would like to know how to supplement your slave wage by cooking a little meth in your spare time. Just think how handy it could be to know how to steal someone's identity and credit card numbers. Would you like to learn how to produce fire, alcoholic beverages, or lethal weapons under almost any condition or circumstance? Well, I'm happy to announce that Club Fed offers intensive graduate-level courses on all of the above subjects and many more in addition, and school is now in session. Yes, kids. In a move that reflects their genius, your government has concentrated most of the criminal masterminds throughout the entire country into confined, intensely personal spaces where they associate with no one but other criminals who have absolutely nothing to do but learn to hate the world even more than they already did and to share their trade secrets. Yes, kids, it's education by immersion. So relax, make yourself at home, Slip off your cheap rubber slip-ons and loosen your chains. Just consider some of Club Fed's amenities. For instance, the menu. It's tasteless and largely inedible slop of a largely unidentifiable nature. Consider the cuisine. It exactly complements the menu. Our recreational activities include staring at walls and walking in circles. The services include 24-hour armed security, a change of bedding every few weeks. Restroom facilities, you can rest assured, are cleaned after every few hundred uses. And nature lovers, you'll be amazed at the incredible diversity of the parasitic insect population and at the proliferation of disease-bearing microorganisms. You can enjoy dull and uninteresting conversation with the ignorant and untrained staff. You can put some edge in your life by spending every minute of every day surrounded by violent psychopaths. You have to watch out for some of the other inmates, too. Or, if you prefer, you can just relax and enjoy the scenic view featuring vast expanses of pretty razor wire glittering picturesquely in the sunset, the entire scene framed by the quaint little gun towers. And in addition to all that, you automatically become part of the prison industrial complex, which is the fastest growing industry in the United States. And best of all, I saved the best for last for you kids, there are neither women nor children nor any normal social interaction of any kind to distract you from your studies. You have all the time you need to devote to the learning the fine arts of thievery, corruption, and mayhem. Yes, kids. Come learn from the masters. Act now to take advantage of this special offer. Club Fed. It's a stop that you'll never forget. Thousands of positions are available immediately. Concerning those land developers in New York who are constructing the high-rises that have separate entrances for their regular residents and their subsidized low-income residents.
Oh, well, the purple of the
Well, everyone was outraged. And so was I. At least, I was outraged until I read Dr. Wes Browning's column in Real Change last week.
I wanna play on the roundabout, out on the merry-go-round.
In this article, he states,
we all know what your name is.
Rich people ruin my life.
Money down.
Please don't make me use the same facilities that they use. And after I thought about it,
alimony, alimony, paying your bills.
I found myself in total agreement. Why should us good, honest, regular folks who have things like love and morals and true friends in our lives be exposed to such low-life scum as rich people who have none of those things?
We all know what your name is, so you better lay your money down.
Why should our children be forced to attend school with some rich brat whose father had to see a psychiatrist for 3 years before he could hug his son?
Why should I have to be exposed? Some ignorant, arrogant, sociopathic, human mutant hybrid that makes his living ruining people's lives.
With the butler and the maid and their 17.
Take a Sunday drive around a large American city sometime. In the poor parts of town, you will see people everywhere hanging out, socializing, walking, and doing what actual humans have been doing with each other for millennia. In the rich parts of town, though, you'll see only walls and gates and thick hedges. If you're lucky, you may see a jogger. And in the real rich neighborhoods, you'll need to negotiate a guarded gate to get anywhere near them.
But here's a single, what'd you say?
Are these the kind of values that we want to teach to our children? Should I have taught my daughter to be afraid of people? And to build thick walls and hire guards because you so fear the world? Should I have told my daughter, in order to make it to the top in crony corporate capitalist world, my beautiful child, you will need to forget everything they taught you in kindergarten about playing fair and sharing and being nice, and about not slicing people's throats open. Instead, you will need to develop a level of ambition that indicates serious psychological derangement. You will need a willingness to sell your soul to the devil. And of course, you will need a willingness to mass murder women and children for profit. These people are like the complete opposite of everything that actual humans should be. And so I say, segregation now, segregation tomorrow, and segregation forever. Hell yeah. I would suggest that we lock them up in prison-like conditions under strict security behind several layers of locked doors and surrounded with walls and armed guards, just to make sure that they stayed away from us. But they already do this to themselves, so we don't even need to bother. Yes. I know we've spent many centuries now trying to stop persecution of people based upon social class. And I know that the truly enlightened person will see the humanity even of rich people. The wise person will look below all the murder and stealing and lying and cheating. And he will see the true lost soul that lay underneath. Like way underneath.
Gonna take my feet right way back.
And the truly advanced human,
watch that train rolling down the track,
would be able to manage this beat without vomiting.
Bring it on home, bring it, bring it on home.
Yeah, who knows what hurdles and challenges rich people must face in their insulated little bubble worlds. Yeah, maybe that man who just sold a bunch of fighter jets to that brutal dictator is suffering from PTSD because his mother didn't breastfeed him or something. So show some humanity, why don't ya? But tell me, has there ever been a social class that so deserves to be shunned and mocked?
Trying to love you, baby, what you trying to do? You try to love me, baby, and I love some other man too. Bring it on home, bring it on home.
Mr. Banker Man. What you got to say for yourself?
I just say that I plead innocent of all charges.
I'm gonna bring it all home. I'll bring it all home to you.
And the Thunderbolt's about to bring it right on home to you right now. Thunderbolt calendar, coming right up. Yippee. Since only rich kids can afford to go to college now, then as a public service, the Thunderbolt recently advised college-age youth of the educational opportunities available to them through the federal prison system. Yes, where they can learn the skills they will need to survive in this brave new world order. But then, suddenly, I realized that we must think of the children! And thus, in the Thunderbolt's dedication to public service and to educating the kids, I am proud to announce the first airing of a new Thunderbolt feature that will be aimed at the little people. Yes, kids, the Thunderbolt feels that children should be prepared for the actual world that they will actually be facing. Thus, the Thunderbolt feels that kids are never too young to learn about genocidal slaughter and rape and drugs. And I'm here to tell you, kids, that you need to immediately forget nearly everything that they taught you in school and just listen to old Uncle Dana as he tells you how the world really works. Yes, kids. And this is a segment that I am calling
Poppy Seeds.
I'm about to rock out, so you better look out.
I've been in a wasted days, been climbing up the walls all day, and so now I'm on my way to where the drugs are cheap. Well, can you tell me how to get to Poppy Seed Street?
Yeah, man, I can hook you up. What you need?
Yippee!
When I've been smoking crack all day, then everything is A-okay. And I've got a homicidal neighbor there, and that's where we meet. Well, can you tell me how to get to Poppy Seed Street?
I'm gonna fuck you up, bitch.
Hey, dude, just chill out. Yeah. We're puking on their magic carpet ride. And every jail cell will open wide for strung out people like you. And strung out people like, oh, what a hazy
wasted days, been climbing up the walls all day. And so now I'm on my way to where the drugs are cheap. Can you tell me how to get
to
Poppy Seed Street?
Yippee!
Hey man, I'm hurting bad and I really need to get to Poppy Seed Street. Can you please help me out here?
Hey, you got my money, biatch? This ain't no Sesame Street game we playing here. You in the hood now, punk.
Poppy Seed Street, Lesson 1. Hello, kids. Welcome to Poppy Seed Street. Now, our very first lesson is going to be about capitalism. Can you say capitalism? Now, capitalism is the system under which we live, and it is very, very important that you learn the rules. So pay close attention today, okay, kids?
The hare has lost his spectacles.
That's just his problem. Now, capitalism is very famous as a parasite that consumes its host. Capitalism is made up of predators and prey, or you might want to call them winners and losers. The winners get to own more than 1,000 families could possibly spend in 1,000 lifetimes, and they get to live in decadent luxury, while the losers often can't even feed their own children, and they often live in poisonous, crime-ridden hellholes. And thus, as long as capitalism reigns, you definitely want to be a winner rather than a loser. But the reality is that each predator requires lots and lots of prey, and so there are lots and lots and lots of losers. Well, I'm afraid that there are not very many winners at all, kids. So you need to take measures. Now, under capitalism, those who rise to the top are those who are the most ruthless and cutthroat. So I'm afraid that nice people don't fare so well here, kids. So you really, really, really need to forget all those things they taught you in kindergarten about being fair and about playing nice and about sharing and about not slicing people's throats open, because all of that being nice and being fair stuff is strictly for the losers. Now, the best way to be a winner is to be born into a wealthy white family. If you were so fortunate, then congratulations! Against seemingly impossible odds, you won the sperm lottery. However, even if you weren't born into a wealthy white family, there have been many cases of people rising from the bottom to achieve the pinnacles of success. And as our current president demonstrates, you don't even have to be white anymore. So now brutal exploitation is an equal opportunity field, and all that is required is a level of ambition indicating serious psychological derangement and a willingness to sell your soul to the devil. See, it's easy, kids. Souls are just for losers anyway. Under capitalism, the best way to claw yourself to the top of the hill is to kill lots and lots and lots of people. I know this sounds like a lot of trouble and bother, and maybe it's not very nice, but that's just the way it works under capitalism. And if you want to be a winner, then that's just what you need to do, kids. Another requirement for reaching the top of the heap and winning the game, whatever that means, is that you must become very, very rich. And in order to become very, very rich, you will need to steal lots and lots of money. But you must be very careful, because if you don't steal enough money, then you might go to jail. See, the trick is to steal enough money that you can buy yourself a government. Then you can steal to your heart's content with no fear of suffering anything as distasteful as being arrested. Plus, when you own a government, then even if you lose all your money, then you can get your pet government to make the losers pay for that too. So you see, when you run the game, the rules are heads you win and tails everybody else loses. You can't beat it, literally. Now, if you're in a really, really hurry to become very, very rich and make lots and lots of money, then the trick is to buy lots and lots of those pretty poppy flowers. And that is, in fact, why I called this segment Poppy Seed Street. Yes, kids. Thanks to the ingenious war on drugs, illicit drugs have become the biggest and baddest business on the whole entire world. And this little innocent, pretty easy to grow flower can be processed into some of the most popular illicit drugs that there are, and then you can make a fortune. afraid that's all for Poppy Seed Street this week, kids. But don't be sad, because you can tune in next week when we will learn how to overthrow third world governments and assassinate labor leaders. Yippee! Won't you be my neighbor?
All right. So I would like to speak now about the main problem underlying most, if not all, of our other problems. And I guess that's kind of a presumptuous thing to say, that I, a lifelong traveling vagabond, presume to understand the main problem underlying most, if not all, of our other problems, eh? Possibly. Possibly even probably. But when has that ever stopped me before? Anyway, here it is. More and more information about the often problematic effects upon the human psyche of trauma in general, and of childhood trauma in particular, are coming to light. And it sounds kind of cliche at this point to say this, but the fact remains that hurt people hurt other people, who then go on to hurt other people, and so forth, and so on. And we are beginning more and more to learn about the fact that removing a child from their primary caregiver is one of the most traumatic things that can happen to that child, especially if that removal is done violently and or with a lot of drama. And this is true even in the case of highly abusive caregivers. Now, you can't just leave a child with a highly abusive caregiver. But when you remove that child, you must be aware of the trauma that you are inflicting upon that child, and you must be hyper-mindful of doing everything possible to mitigate that trauma. And if you don't do that, then society will very likely pay the price a few years down the road. Yet that is virtually never how they do things. They evidently prefer the drama and the violence. So anyway, in my opinion, the most important and most undercovered story in our nation, at least in the context of our social health in general and our mental health in particular, which also ties into our political health and our environmental health and every other kind of health, is the fact that this country's foster care system is a torture chamber for tens of thousands of children, and it has been for decades. As wards of the state, they have highly limited legal rights, and foster children are highly disproportionately raped and abused. Some states are worse than others, but all of them are very bad. And I've been reporting upon this issue in the Thunderbolt a few times, but the understanding that this is the main problem underlying most, if not all, of our other problems only came to me relatively late in my career, and I wish now that I had thunderbolted the foster care system much more often than I did. I did produce a piece on this subject called Cold Steel Arms back in 2016, but there ended up being a couple of problems with that piece that I did not want to air it for this last show. And I also wrote an article in my newsletter about a child custody case out of Olympia, a local one. And that one was called Suffer the Children. And I forget when I published that, but it was 2 or 3 years ago. So you can go back in my archives and look for all that stuff if you'd like. And so I'll just go over some of the highlights real quick with you. Often our foster care systems are run like personal little fiefdoms by some local magistrate of one kind or another, usually but not always a judge. And this person has almost godlike powers to determine the fate of the children who come before him or her. Many of their procedures are totally opaque due to the fact that they are dealing with children, and hardly anyone pays any attention to what they're doing anyway, so all kinds of nefarious badness can and does go on. And if a foster child displays any of the normal symptoms or reactions to trauma, then that child is immediately drugged, and that child is kept drugged for the remainder of their childhood. And finally, when they age out, usually at age 18, though I believe some states it extends into their early 20s, these kids are simply cut loose into the world. And often they have no money, no job, no home, no family, no prospects, no hope, no dreams, And in fact, about the only thing they do have is a government-induced drug habit that the government is suddenly no longer paying for. So, geez, what could go wrong? So these are America's throwaway children. We put these kids through an emotional and psychological meat grinder, and then we blame them, and we demonize them, and we dehumanize them when they come out of that process all ground up. These are the kids who go on to populate our prisons or end up spending their lives vomiting on themselves in some alley. And when I see politicians using the power of the government to target the most helpless and vulnerable members of our communities, it reminds me of an entire varsity football team all lining up to start kicking a crippled 12-year-old girl who's already down. And it frankly disgusts me. So that's the disease on a social level, and this disease is also part of the larger infection of diseased minds that run our politics and run all our corporations. So I had a friend and mentor and colleague named Glenn Anderson in Olympia who died recently, and Glenn was hypercritical of a lot of things that people did, but he never criticized the people themselves. Glenn was of the view that everybody is good at heart and that some people are just misguided. And, you know, I always appreciated that about Glenn, not because I believe it, because frankly I don't, but I understood the moral authority that such a position gave to him. And rest in peace, Glenn. You have a good one. So we got time for one more quick little thunderbolt here. So I'm going to play this and then this show is done. Have a good one. You know, love is a verb. A verb is a word used to describe an action, a state, or an occurrence. A verb requires action. Means it's time to get to work, kids. So we're almost done with the short version of this last show. You can still find all my archives at my website, which is Dana, D-A-N-A, 98501.wordpress.com. And 98501 is the downtown Olympia zip code, if that helps you to remember that. It has been an honor and a pleasure to have been on the air all of these years, and I thank everybody who made all that possible. And I'd also like to thank my Patreon supporters. There weren't many of you, but you helped immensely, believe me. So that's it. Happy trails, best wishes, and hope you all have a good life, and we'll see you down the road.
Thank you very much.